This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Gets one more board for that double-double. The Nets, though, didn't give up. Peyton Pritchard will dribble this one out. The Celtics get the win, 104-96. It is the 14th time this season Boston held a team under 100 points, and they close out the season series with a sweep over the Brooklyn Nets. Celtics get to 50 wins.
High noon, Jones and Keefe every Wednesday. It's time for Pure Hoops with Terp. All I'll say about that broadcast last night, you can score one for Drew Carter and Scal.
Yeah.
They're aware of Tommy Heinsohn. That's a win for them.
They know who he is.
They know who Tommy Heinsohn is.
Goes a long way.
Now, Terp, you're a youngin', but you're aware of Tommy Heinsohn. You understand who he is?
No, who's he?
I think he's...
I'm only kidding.
Was it like 80 years of his life dedicated to the Celtics, for God's sakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
He called a game or two.
Called a game, coached a game, played a game.
Yeah, I got you.
Spans a couple generations.
And, you know, I was like literally all of the basketball.
And we're not.
He looks like all of Australia.
Yeah, Keith and I
played with Bill Russell, called a Jason Tatum game. Kind of everything in between.
If you're watching Celtic City, he's in the episodes.
Like all of them.
A whole bunch of them.
The funny part about that is just really quick, when they're interviewing Tommy Heinsohn after the game and he just lights a cigarette.
It's great.
Like, imagine Joe doing that now. It'd be hysterical.
So good. The best picture
what
ever.
What would Joe be into? That'd be something.
Ooh, good question.
I don't know.
Marb Reds.
No, I mean, something that nobody else is even doing. It'd be some like really like, what even is that, sir?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you haven't heard about this?
Yeah. That's a good call. Yeah, I roll my own tobacco.
He's just eating a bald eagle after the game.
we're not being overly critical here. Brag of the week. I mean, Keith, you and I are veterans of actual Celtics broadcasts.
Yeah, we've called games.
We know we have deep,
sick brag, bro.
Deep knowledge
both
of
radio analysts
of how to analyze the Celtics on the radio.
Yeah, multiple games.
Not once in the games that I called or you called were we asking who Tommy Heinsohn is.
No,
not one.
We
time.
Had that down.
I had,
exactly who he was.
I had some embarrassing moments.
Sure,
but not who is Tommy Heinsohn.
I gotcha.
At least she held her breath the whole time.
You had a good smoothie, too, didn't
on the
you?
Show.
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, Smoothie
King.
Center.
Smoothie King.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
Delicious.
So that
big
was,
old smoothie down there. That was the broadcast last night.
Yeah.
Baylor Shireman, your guy, Terp, we can get to him. Big night last night for
what
the Celtics
player.
As they win without Tatum and Brown at home, which they don't always do at home. I want to start with something we were talking about in Would You Rather, though. Keith and I were debating this. Who do you think is more important for their title defense, their championship defense? You get one. Drew Holiday or Kristaps Porzingis, who's more important?
Drew Holiday.
Wow.
Because if you look at last year, they might not make it out of the Eastern Conference Finals last year without Drew Holiday. And I've said it with you guys before, he made a legitimate case for Eastern Conference Finals MVP. If you look at the numbers comparatively to where Jalen and Jason were, and even in the finals, like game two, 26 points, like he had huge performances in the postseason. And I lean Drew just because that's why they went out and got him. they knew he was going to be on the floor and in the postseason when it mattered most, and he was going to step up and play well when it mattered most. Like, he's built that reputation. And I keep going back to it. Like, when he was introduced as a Celtic, Brad Stevens was smiling the entire time. Like, wouldn't take his eyes off Drew, kept smiling, because they knew, like, that was the piece. And it's funny, Savi Mihailuk was here last week with the Jazz, and he was reminiscing on the championship run, and he was asked, like, when did you know this was a championship team? He was like, when they got Drew. So Drew Holiday is the piece right there, and they've kind of showed last year they can do it without Kristaps, and I think he's going to be very important this year. If they are going to do it again, they're going to need Kristaps Porzingis, but I would lean with Drew being more important.
See, I know we saw them win without Porzingis essentially last year, and Holiday was great. I just feel like Holiday hasn't been as good this year. And Oklahoma City specifically, you would need Porzingis even more.
I mean, the matchups last year.
I mean, you get to the finals, and the two best players on the other side are both point guards, and you're like, yeah, of course you want.
I also don't want to overlook Game One from Kristaps. Like, he punched them in the mouth right away.
Yeah,
like he swung that momentum right in Boston's favor right from the opening quarter.
I might give him credit for that. That's true. Yeah,
they still would have won the series, but like that, when you're looking up and you're just getting overpowered like that, that opening run was incredible. So I don't want to discredit Kristaps because he was key in that, but I still do lean Drew. And it's the thing is with Drew Holiday is not everything he does is quantified statistically.
True.
What he does as an anchor on the defense and his ball pressure and his ability to guard 1 through 5 is so important. So it's dangerous with Drew Holiday to just look at the box score, because I think him and Al Horford sacrifice the most on this team, where Al Horford's the one that comes off the bench after starting his entire career, and Drew Holiday, who's been a capable scorer, who's led teams in scoring, is not taking as many shots.
And,
so.
And maybe it's unfair of me to just like give him the benefit of the doubt and say, well, I've seen it before, Drew Holiday will flip the switch come the postseason, because I don't know that the Celtics could do that, and I've been critical of that, but him, I do kind of trust him to do that, but maybe that's inconsistent on my end. Celtics about to start a six-game road trip?
Six-game, yeah.
Utah, Portland, Sacramento, Phoenix, San Antonio, Memphis.
Murderer's Row.
I mean, one good game in there.
Yeah, right.
At the end of the trip. They're leaving home where they without Tatum and Brown, so they get some leeway there, but they almost lose to the Nets last night. They're down in the fourth quarter last night to the Nets at home. They have 12 losses at home. Why do they struggle there?
It's been better in recent games. It has been better. And I think we talked about it mostly throughout their
When you say it's been better, they just lost to Cleveland and OKC at home on that last homestand.
Right, and I don't know, the Cleveland game was also a game that they had control of for most of it and just kind of let go at the end. And I more so look at the beginning of the season where their home record really tanked, or not the beginning of the season, the middle of the season when their home record really tanked. I think that was just like the ultimate telltale sign of complacency, where they just weren't bringing it every night, and teams were coming into the Garden and they're playing against the reigning champions, and they were punching above their weight in most cases, and the Celtics weren't matching that. And when you're kind of taking it easy and another team's going all in and doing everything they can to beat you, that's a recipe for disaster, right? You're not going to win many games like that in any professional sport. So I think that was a real big part of that. And then if you look at the Cleveland game last week when they lost to Cleveland, like, they had control of that game, and Cleveland just made tough shots. Like, I know that seems like, oh, it's so lame as a reason to chalk up a loss.
What were they up in that game? 25-3?
25-3 run.
Yeah,
but that's the first
quarter. I think
Tatum
said, get the bleep out of here.
Yeah.
And then they didn't leave, and they stayed, and they won the game.
A 20-point lead in the first quarter in today's NBA is nothing.
It disappears quickly.
Yeah, but hang on. When you're up 20, I don't care when, it could be 10 seconds into the game. When you're up 20, I spot you a 20-point lead, you should win that game.
Not in today's NBA.
Yes, in today's NBA.
Well, they should
still
win.
You should win the game.
They should win.
No, not with a 3-point volume and the pace of play.
So you're up 20?
In the first quarter?
It's like a 2-goal lead in hockey. It's the most dangerous lead in sports?
In the first quarter? No.
Yes.
You should win the game. Teams are inevitably going to make a run. Teams are going to be getting threes up.
Make a run, and then you score again, and you win the game. You shouldn't lose a game when you're up 20, ever. I don't care when it is.
Back in the day, that'd be the case. Not now. Not with the way the scoring is.
It looked worse when Tatum was telling him to get out.
That made it look way worse.
That's a really kind of highlighted.
Tatum thought they had it won.
Yeah.
And so they took their foot off the accelerator. No, 20-point lead, you should win. I'm sorry.
Not in today's NBA. It's a lot different.
I mean, I
it's
expect a run different. To come back, but like you did build up that kind of lead. So even if they make a run, you should be able to win the rest of the game. But whatever, regardless.
They also got no help, Tatum and Brown, that game. What was it? They combined for 83 points, and no one else really got off the bus.
So that is one of my kind of fears that I didn't really have early in the season. And I think it's really highlighted in the Oklahoma City two games. But you could also maybe take a look at the Cleveland series and say, are the other guys going to be able to step up? Like, I feel like Oklahoma City plays such great defense that they can kind of smother the Pritchards and even like a Drew Holiday, Derek White, Al Horford. Like those guys are like Brown and Tatum might not get as much help against those two teams.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at those Cleveland games too, like the Celtics, neither is Cleveland in fairness. No team has really been completely full. And the game they lost in Cleveland in the beginning of December, Derek White and Jaylen Brown were out. Kristaps was out last time they met. So no team has really been full, so it's been hard to kind of gauge. But I mean, when you're looking at Cleveland, I still pick the Celtics over Cleveland. I think they are the deeper team, a team that's been there. And there's no roster changes other than DeAndre Hunter at the deadline. There's no roster changes to this Cleveland team. I guess you can call Ty Jerome one because he missed all last year, but he was with the team last year. And the Celtics handled them in five games pretty easily. And I know Kenny Atkinson's done a great job and their offense is completely rejuvenated, but you look at last year what the Celtics did to them, and I don't think the Celtics are really showing everything. And that's another thing, too, is when Cleveland went back for the offseason and they're doing their film review, they're doing their film study, everyone's watching the Celtics tape. Like, that's the team that you're, if you're going to make it to the finals, you're going to have to go through in the East. So everyone's watching the Celtics tape. Celtics brought back the same roster. So all this tape's out on them that teams are studying and loading up on to try to stop the Celtics, and Cleveland did a good job with that in the beginning of the season. And I think that's why when we're talking about, like, why are they worse with the starting lineup, with Kristaps in the lineup, why are they worse? Well, they spent all summer watching this tape on these guys and prepping for this, and I don't think the Celtics have shown everything yet. They don't want to.
It's part of what makes it challenging to defend, right? I mean, your teams are going to adjust to you. They're going to game plan for you. They're going to be ready for you. So Cleveland, yes or no? Cleveland is a contender to the Celtics.
100%. Yeah, okay. But I just don't pick them to
No, that's fine. But I'm just curious how big that group is. So Cleveland is in that group. Give me a yes or no. OKC?
Yes.
Okay, Houston right now is the number two seed in the West.
Too young.
Okay, not Houston.
And they don't really have a superstar. You know what I mean? Like, there's not one guy that you can count on.
Superstar's
yeah, Ime,
the
your
coach.
Guy.
It is.
Trust me, I agree with you. They are not a contender, but I was just curious how you'd answer. Denver?
Yes. They have the best player in the world.
They have to be. Lakers?
Yes.
Memphis?
No.
Golden State?
They are playing really well with Jimmy Butler, but I don't know if they're good enough to beat any of those teams above them in the Western Conference.
So I would put Golden State in the group. Otherwise, I answer the same way. Not Houston, not Memphis, but all those
so
other
five
teams.
Or you have six.
And there's two in the Eastern Conference. And
there's only two in the East.
I would pick the Celtics against every team not named Oklahoma City. It doesn't mean the Celtics would lose, but that's the field. Most of it's out West. Yeah.
And that's the thing, too, with the Celtics is last year we spent all this time after, I think their last game against Denver last year was in March. And all that time it was like, oh, if the Celtics see the Denver in the NBA Finals, can they beat them? Like, Denver beat them twice. Denver didn't even make it.
You didn't get
them. And that's the same thing kind of with Golden State. Oklahoma City, this is still a really young team. Like, they're still kind of figuring things out. Like, there's no lock that they're going to, I think everyone thinks they're going to, but there's no lock that they're going to make it out of the West. The West is really, hard.
I mean, they could go Clippers, Lakers, Nuggets.
That's a gauntlet.
Brutal.
That's brutal for a young team especially. So, I don't know. It's good for talk radio, I guess, because people are going to be like, oh, I don't know. Can the Celtics beat this Thunder team, or is it their time now? But there's no guarantee they even make it there.
So the Celtics are 6.5 out of first, and they're 6 up on third. So really, there's no going up or down. Do you expect like a ton of rest and guys sitting out the last, whatever, 13 games they have?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'd be curious, though, with Jaylen Brown. I mean, how much he rests, because he's dealing with something with the knee, but I also think he's looking at that 65-game threshold of all NBA honors, because look at all those guys above him that are ineligible. So I wonder if he's looking at that like, get into the all-NBA conversation.
Let me answer that for you. He's definitely looking at that. He will definitely play 65 games.
I think he kind of showed
his hands. So he needs to play nine. They have 13 left,
They have 13 left.
So he has to play nine of them.
He has to play nine. I think he'll do it.
That's doable. That's a lot of rest.
And you can still rest, though.
He doesn't even have to play like 40 minutes. He can play 20 in those 90. He just has to appear in the game.
Oh, he checks in for a game and checks out.
They did that with Derek White two years ago when he was playing his 82nd game, last game of the year. He checked in for like a minute, and that was it. They did it with Josh Allen this year. I know it's a different sport, but remember he did it against the Patriots in Week 18?
That's cheap.
He took a snap and then ran off. Everyone's clapping. So they could do that. I don't think they'll do it to that extent, but I mean, Jalen wants that, I think.
You think he will be?
He's going to want to be out there.
I'd have to take a look at everyone
that's actually been disqualified or that are ineligible now. But there's a lot of players that have been. And if you're Jalen, like, he's really prideful and cares a lot about his legacy. Like, that's a big deal. That's something that if the time gets there and you're talking Hall of Fame, that adds into it.
Look, definitely. I definitely value all that stuff.
He should not.
More than All-Stars.
He should get some games here and there. Like, take three or four games off to get to the 65. But, like, don't put him in bubble wrap, but they're not going to move out. They're locked into the second seed.
They're also going to have like a week.
They're not catching Cleveland. Mm. The Knicks aren't going to catch them.
No.
So get some rest for these guys. I don't have a problem with that. Text line has a problem with you, Terp.
Oh, get him.
617-779-7937. Pure Hoops with Terp every Wednesday at high noon. What the hell do you mean, Terp? The Celtics haven't shown everything. It's either bombs away or not. So you said earlier you don't think they've shown everything.
There's a lot of things that go into getting the shot. Like, it's not just like, hey, we're going to take this shot. There's no, like, there's a lot that goes into it.
It is oversimplifying it. I don't disagree that it's oversimplifying it, but that is kind of their offense. It's bombs away, and is that not what teams like Cleveland and OKC have figured out?
I don't think that's their offense at all. I think their offense is generating two-on-one advantages, and when you have Jason and Jalen driving to the rim, often that comes on the perimeter. I think it's just the best shot.
But some of it is leaving guys. Some of it's leaving guys. OKC was leaving guys.
Well, that's defensively. Well, yeah, when you're letting a guy, like, the thing is with the Celtics roster is all of them shoot league average or better from three, the guys that are taking the threes. So if you're going to let them shoot, they're going to play the math game. They're going to play the numbers, and they're going to take the three. Like, that's how their offense is. If there's an open shot, take it. That's why Xavier Tillman doesn't play anymore, because they would leave him open. He wouldn't take the shots.
But I think the texter is point. So what's their adjustment off that? So that is their offense. I agree. So now Tatum gets a two-on-one, and Drew Holiday's mallet finger. He can't knock down wide-open corner threes. Now what? Like, what's the adjustment to that?
Well, that's the thing. That's what I mean. They haven't shown it.
I know, but what is it? What would it be?
That's the question. That's the thing that they don't want to show.
But you're saying there is an adjustment that they haven't shown. What is it?
There's plenty of adjustment. There's different actions they run. There's different things they go to. There's a lot that is different. It's not just like, well, they're just going to swing the ball around and find an open shot. There's a lot that goes into it. I think that's just really oversimplifying.
Because I wonder if in a seven-game series, if they, going back to like playing the numbers game, if they just say, like, we will shoot better. And, like, I just think
Holiday will make the next one. I don't think they have an adjustment.
Well, or Porzingis or somebody. And, like, maybe you mess with the lineup a little bit more, and you get maybe there's more or less Hauser or Pritchard or freaking Shireman for all I know. But, like, they're probably thinking, if you leave us wide open for threes seven games, maybe we miss some three of them, but we're still going to win the series.
There will be an adjustment on that. Yeah. And, like, the Memphis game earlier this year in December when they were letting Drew shoot and he shot, like, 18 threes. Like, if that's the case, they're going to get away from that. They're not going to stick with that in the postseason. It's the regular season. They're going to let a guy try to work through that, and they're not going to show their cards. They're not going to go to different things they haven't shown yet because they know they're the most talented team in the league. Like, that's something I don't think they're scared of talking about. They willingly acknowledge that. So they know that they can win off talent right now. They don't need to show everything. We just talked about how all last year, all this tape, this film is there, and teams kind of seen a lot. They're limited in what they can do now, so they don't really want to show it. So it's a little different.
Celtic City, we got the third episode this week. Minor spoiler alert, the episode ends drafting Larry Bird, so we're still in the 1970s.
I wonder what's next.
Yeah, I know. I wonder, we'll see what happens next. But any takeaways from this episode? A lot of Dave Cowens, which my takeaway was, if sports radio was a thing back then, holy smokes, the opinions on Dave Cowens would have been all over the place. Like, what a character he was. They had Bob Ryan doing a great job of kind of breaking him down like a free thinker and all this stuff, but then kind of like walking away from the team, AWOL, going to a game as a fan in the stands, and you're like, oh my God, like, that guy would have been the talk of the town.
And Ryan made the point, you know, he was much more embraced in this city than Bill Russell was,
right,
for obvious reasons. Yep. So, you know, that
Like JoJo White got booed because he was like, what do I care about Cowens if he's not playing?
Right.
Which is the right answer.
100%.
Yeah.
So, no, I thought it was an interesting episode. It's turning into a bit of a, you knew or already knew it was, but it's turning into a passion project with Bill Simmons
and his dad,
and Dr. Bill Simmons,
that's right,
his father.
That's right.
Oh, so is like, he a junior? I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, I think it was
Dr. Bill Simmons.
Dr. Bill Simmons. Yeah. So that feels like a bit much, but...
Sick brag, bro.
But I like how... I don't know. I feel like Celtics fans of a certain age, maybe like our age, we've been told a lot about like the Russell Cousy era.
Yep.
And then the Bird era, yeah, and then we've been able to watch everything else. Like, there's sort of this lost time.
This was a gap.
Where they were really good, then really, really bad, then really, really good again. You still had Havlicek on the team, but you were bringing in new guys.
The early Tommy years.
The early Tommy years as the coach. Mm-hmm. And then also Jones's point about Rhett Auerbach being overrated. It was a great take watching this. It's kind of
aging well.
The Paul Silas thing, like he basically didn't want to negotiate with Paul Silas, so he traded him away and cost him a championship.
Yep.
That's a strike against Rhett Auerbach. Now, he follows it up by doing something pretty great.
Who'd he get?
Yeah, he drafted Larry Bird a year early, but
that's a win for Rhett. I'll give him that.
Yeah. But I was like, that Paul Silas thing, like I didn't know that. I wasn't alive for that time, so that was a pretty good nugget.
I liked it. I thought they were going to lean more into the JoJo White and Jason Tatum thing. I thought that's where that was going because there's clearly...
Dude, what a small world. So his...
grandparents were neighbors.
Yes,
with
Tatum's grandmother.
Has so many connections
it's
like that.
Wild.
Larry Hughes is like, what, his godfather or something like that?
I think so. Obviously, knew Bradley Beal.
Knew Beal growing up, has a connection to JoJo. Like, Tatum has a lot of those.
Yeah. It is pretty cool.
But I thought they were going to lean more into that because I think right now there's a clear connection between Rhett Auerbach and Joe Mazzulla and Jaylen Brown and Bill Russell. At least that's what this is painting.
Yep.
Where's Jason? Is it going to come with Larry Bird? I thought it was going to come with JoJo White because it feels inevitable there's going to be a comparison with Jason somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Maybe Larry Bird, maybe Paul Pierce because I thought it was going to be JoJo White, but they kind of leaned out on that.
I'm excited for the Bird thing coming up. Also,
they're going to slow. You know what they're going to do, though. They're going to slow play. This is going to be getting Bird in the Indiana State, and like this is not going to be Bird Magic yet.
Dude,
they're going to slow play the crap out of Bird Magic.
Was it Ben McAdoo?
Yes,
coming in and he's like, I don't want to be here.
Bob McAdoo.
Ben McAdoo.
Yeah,
the guy with the Giants. No,
the Danger Zone guy.
the meme maker.
Yeah.
No, but that was a pretty crazy story.
That
like Rhett Auerbach didn't even get to make that move, and it's like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
That's gonna be a good little story.
I didn't know you want to talk about gaps in knowledge. I didn't know the Celtics were owned by the guy who bought KFC.
Yeah. That's also. I didn't know there was another owner.
I didn't realize there was.
Between.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So shame on me. I was aware of Tommy Hines.
How about that press conference?
I was unaware of that.
That press conference where he's talking about like, hey, sometimes you're going to disagree, and sometimes, like, I'm going to get my way or whatever. And Red's just puffing a cigar, being like, I want to kill this guy. I want to
And then he just goes over his head and makes, like, a big move.
Makes a massive trade. Red had gotten all these draft picks, and he sent them all away. He's like, three first-round picks, gone.
Yeah, he probably knew Red was overrated.
I think
he was early on that, quite frankly. No, you can watch Celtic City, Episode 3 on Max now, if you want to see some old videos of professional athletes and coaches just smoking, which is very entertaining. Text Line has a good one. Joe Mazzulla would light up a Sherlock Holmes pipe. That sounds like the kind of thing Mazzulla would
that
do.
That could be.
Everybody else is puffing a cigarette.
He's like, Christoph Waltz and Inglourious Basterds. Like
I feel like Kramer. Kramer was smoking a pipe for a while, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mazzulla would.
It messed up his skin, though, pretty bad.
I could see that.
Yeah. It's like an old catcher's mitt. so Mazzulla would do that. Okay. Pure Hoops with Terp every Wednesday at high noon. Terp, thanks for taking the time. Sticking around. Long day for Terp today.
Yeah, long day.
Long night, long day. So you go get some sleep there. Terp, we'll talk to you next week.
All righty.
Every Wednesday at high noon on Jones and Keefe. You can still vote in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket at Jones and Keefe Twitter and Instagram.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Sean and I reported today that the Red Sox at this point seem relatively or rather inclined to move forward with Christian Campbell as the opening day second baseman.
They're not talking about how he's played over 3 weeks of Grapefruit League play. They are much more interested in the ceiling here and what he can provide them with his bat, with his ability to handle second base, his maturity. So, yeah, all signs point to Christian Campbell being the pick to start at second in Arlington, Texas, in a little bit more than a week.
That was Chris Cotillo, Sean McAdam, Mass Live. More interesting reporting from that duo on the Red Sox. We'll get to them in a moment with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Good stint with Terp. Pure Hoops with Terp every Wednesday. If you missed any of it, it's up on the Odyssey app, Audacy. Get that on your phone, free, easy. You can check it out on YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. We're going to get to Sonny and Butch back on Earth, Keith.
Woo! Thank God.
After almost a full year, almost 300 days up there in outer space.
That's a lot of time to kill.
Not a lot to do up
there. No, there is. Or is there?
Yeah. So we'll get to Sonny and Butch coming up. Congrats. Welcome back to Earth. We'll do that in just a little bit. Meantime, on the Red Sox, we mentioned this earlier. As bullish as you are, I am, I think a lot of Red Sox fans are, about this team this year, I'd consider picking them to come out of the American League. I heard Buster Olney on his podcast actually pick the Red Sox to come out of the American League this year.
I think it's a good pick.
On some of the betting apps, including DraftKings, the Red Sox are the third favorite to win the division.
That's wild.
Yankees plus 135, Baltimore plus 270, Red Sox plus 350. You say it's wild. I agree. Why do you say that?
I think it's got a lot to do with the Yankees getting a lot worse. Like, I don't know how much better they got. So, yeah, they added Max Fried. He's a good pitcher. I don't think he's amazing, but he's good. He's very good. He got a huge contract. But they lost Garrett Cole. And say what you want. Like, Red Sox fans don't fear Garrett Cole because Devers and the Red Sox destroy Cole, and he's not amazing in the postseason. But regular season Garrett Cole,
I was just gonna say,
helps you win a division.
Fast forward to the postseason, yeah, I don't trust Garrett Cole, but you got to win 90 games or whatever. Garrett Cole is going to help you do that.
Regular season, he is a true ace in the majors. And you also don't have Juan Soto anymore. Giancarlo Stanton's banged up. Luis Gil, who I think was the rookie of the year last year, he's out. Their lineup is Aaron Judge and nobody else. If a team's smart, just walk Judge every time. And then you have nobody else in there that scares me. Their rotation has a couple of guys that used to be good, like Rich Rules. I think they have Stroman now, right?
Yeah, you should love this Yankee rotation.
I should. Carlos Carrasco, I think, might be in it. It's not great. Max Fried, like, it's not very good.
When was the last time Carlos Carrasco was good? This is a good test of the
probably
key
when I was playing fantasy baseball, like, 8 years ago.
Cookie Carrasco?
Yeah, Carrasco. With the Indians, right? He was good.
Yeah, hang on. What would you define as good? Give me an ERA cutoff.
Sub-4?
Sub-4?
Did he ever have any of those?
It's going to be a long time for that.
Come on, Carlos.
No, not that bad. Well, do you count the COVID year? I know you don't count the COVID year.
291,
then we're going to count 2018.
2018?
Yeah, 2018.
2018, he was good. All right.
Rich Rules, you like him.
He's not bad. Well, we're getting kind of dangerous territory there. That's 7 years ago, not three or four. Anybody who's good in 2021, right? You bounce back after COVID.
Post-COVID. That's really your cutoff.
Cooper Kupp's the receiver triple crown.
Yeah.
No, but the Yankees, I don't know why people like the Yankees that much. And then the Orioles, I do like a little bit more than you, but they did lose Corbin Burns. They have a couple of studs in the lineup, but they also lost a 40-home run guy in Anthony Santander and didn't replace him.
Gunnar Henderson's already, I think it's an oblique. Not the kind of injury that goes away.
So those two teams are worse, and then the Red Sox added two guys to the front of their rotation. They added Alex Bregman. You're at least fingers crossed to start the year with Casas and Story, who barely played last year, but they're at least in the lineup to start the season. Yeah, you got some questions in the bullpen, sure, but I think the Red Sox have a better rotation than both of those teams. I think they have certainly a better lineup than the Yankees. Orioles, you might have a little bit more of an argument, but it might still be advantage Red Sox. The bullpen's a question mark, but I don't know. I'm surprised the numbers are the way that they are and that they have the third best odds. So if you bet on the Red Sox right now, it's plus 350 to win the division. If you bet on the Yankees, it's only plus 135. That seems crazy to me.
Buying opportunity?
Great buying opportunity. Although I've been wrong a lot.
Or is it a sucker bet? Is it a buying opportunity or a sucker bet?
I'm going to choose to look at it as a buying opportunity.
Okay, me too.
And then, you know, come back to me in 6 months and I'll let you know whether it was or it wasn't.
How many hams are we talking?
You can pluck down a couple hams on this.
Double ham dinner.
I did three hams.
Three?
Nick did three hams.
Did triple ham dinner.
Would you unload the account?
No.
Okay.
This is all Saquon.
I'm saving up for the tournament. I can't be spending three hams right now.
You're not going to go PS5 on this.
No.
No, I don't have that.
No, the goal is to win a PS5.
Yeah, right. I'm using my tournament money to capitalize on the buying opportunity that are the Boston Red Sox.
If I wait until after the tournament, there may not be much left in the in the pot. So
empty the holster.
No, but it does seem like almost too good to be true. It's like plus 350 for that. Like, they look pretty good right now.
Okay, so why are the Red Sox the third favorite in their own division, where I'd consider taking them to win the American League? 617-779-7937. We may have our answer from some of the reporting from Sean McAdam and Chris Cotillo. Just real quick before we get to that. Line up today. Duran in left, Devers batting second at DH.
Okay.
Bregman at third, batting third. 1-2-3, same as the other day.
That looks pretty good.
Lineup is out.
Thank you, Evan. 4-5-6, also the same. Cass is at first, Story at short, Abreu in right.
I mean, that's a good 1-6.
Bottom three a little different. You got Connor Wong catching, batting seventh. You have Rafaela in center, batting ninth. And then you have Marcelo Meyer at second base today. The other day it was Christian Campbell at second base.
This is a curveball. This is a curveball into the second base battle.
But this is your lineup. This is going to be your opening day lineup. Yeah. The question is, who's at second base batting eighth? But this is now your lineup.
So it looks like you have four candidates to play second base on opening day. So you have the old guys. Actually, they're not even that old. But you have the older guys, David Hamilton and Vaughn Grissom. Mm-hmm. And then Christian Campbell, who we're all kind of hoping it could be him. He has not hit well in spring, but he's really the future of the position. And then Marcelo Meyer, who is a shortstop, but has been playing third base at times this spring, and now today is at second base. He's hitting better than both Campbell and Anthony so far in the spring.
And Cora said something like, everybody's got a shot, or what did he say? Something like that.
Like, yeah. Could this be the opening day lineup? And he's like, everyone's got a shot. So they have not named a second baseman. And maybe even if you're leaning Campbell, and you only have a week to go, but if they're throwing Marcelo Meyer there, and this is the lineup that he's in, so it's like we have eight starters, and then this guy, I don't know, maybe there's a chance it's him.
Okay, so as of yesterday, McAdam and Cotillo wrote, as things stand at present, top prospect Christian Campbell remains squarely in the mix to win the second base job. Despite struggling at the plate so far this spring, he appears to be the favorite in the mind of team decision makers. I'm curious who those decision makers are. Like, my guess is it's not Henry. Henry's like, we want control, and we want to make this guy as cheap for as long as possible. And maybe Cora's got to be pushing for Campbell. Maybe even Breslow's pushing for Campbell. Over Hamilton, Grissom, and others. I guess Meyer would be in the others group. Boston's willingness to shake things up by keeping Bregman at third and moving Devers to DH was always about keeping second base open for Campbell. That has not changed over the course of a few exhibition games. Campbell is hitting, I forget, 160-something. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Poor. Although he did have a good performance the other day. Meyer's hitting 350-something in spring.
Mm-hmm.
So if they do go with Marcelo Meyer, they've overreacted to some exhibition games compared to claiming they wouldn't do that with Campbell. The other positional battle that seems to be coming into focus sounds like Chapman will be the closer, Keith, over Liam Hendricks, who hasn't been good this spring and might not even be a high-level guy. According to Mass Live, it's Chapman as the likely closer, and then Slayton is going to be a high-level guy, a high-leverage guy, rather, even before Hendricks.
Yeah, I think this was a little bit of the concern with Hendricks. Just would he be really ready to go? Would he look like he did a couple of years ago, or would he not? And then as spring has unfolded, he hasn't been super sharp. I think he's given up like two hits an inning kind of thing. His ERA is over 10. You know, it's limited. It's spring appearances. But he's pitched, I believe, more than both Chapman and Whitlock, and yet he just hasn't had it. So because you have other options, I'm not surprised that you can kind of ease Hendricks into the season. Hopefully he tosses some, you know, good seventh innings for a few weeks, and then you're like, all right, maybe we can reassess it later on. Because Chapman certainly wasn't your favorite or my favorite signing of the offseason, but he pitched at a higher level last year, certainly than Hendricks did.
Yep.
And it has way more career saves than anybody else on the roster by far. That, yeah, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world to have him start as the closer.
Okay. Red Sox, their roster coming into focus. Opening day, 8 days away. I think we're a day in front of the 1 week warning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Count it down.
Well, the Major League season is underway.
Major League
season
is underway.
I'm sure you guys all watched it today and yesterday.
Red Sox season, not so much. But how you feeling about the Red Sox leading into opening day a week from tomorrow? 617-779-7937. We'll get to your Red Sox thoughts, and we'll welcome Sonny and Butch back to Earth next.
All right, back here on Joseph Keefe, WEEI. One of the first Kiefer Madness we did this version of the show was about the astronauts, Sonny and Butch, who were stuck in outer space.
Yeah.
Were they ever stuck there? They were stuck there, and they were like, hey, we can't get you back really anytime soon, so kind of just, like, take it easy, and we'll circle back. So they ended up coming back to Earth yesterday, right? So congratulations. They're back. They're safe. I'm sure there's going to be some stories to tell. But they came back, and it was almost a year long, almost a year, like 280-something days.
It was 286 days, 278 days longer than anticipated.
Yeah. So, hey, I'll be right back. No, you won't be.
They circled the Earth 4,576 times.
It's a lot of trips around the Earth.
Circling Earth gets pretty... The first couple of times, I was been like, that's cool.
That's neat.
Then they're like, again?
Yeah, see that again? Look at that.
So, yeah, they were up there a long time. Much, much, much longer than anticipated. Not a ton to do up there, you wouldn't think.
No. What do they think about the Marchand trade? Now they're here, we can finally ask them. They missed the Eagles Super Bowl.
So many.
They have any thoughts of the Tush Push? Anything like that? Nothing.
There's an election in there.
Did you guys see Anora? Were you able to get that up there in the satellite? Did they watch all the Oscar movies? I don't know. I don't know what they did. Actually, I do have some ideas.
We did a Kiefer Madness at the time, you certainly had some theories, yes.
You have to just start hooking up. There's like how many days until you're just like, we're up here? And then it wasn't just like the thought of, hey, maybe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe right. They basically told him, like, guys.
No, early on, they're like, this
it's going to be a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Let's get comfortable. Maybe too comfortable.
At some point, you're going to be like,
yeah,
anything could happen down there.
Anything.
Anything could happen. Like, we might have to save the future humanity.
This might be us.
Yeah.
This might be us. And so here is a now, this was years ago that this happened. But Sonny has giving everybody a tour of what it's like inside her rocket.
I'm sorry. That is not what she was doing.
That's
at all.
What it is. No, it's a tour.
The International Space Station.
Correct.
So she's got
a rocket. She's up in the sky. I want to, you know, this is how we talk. It's a rocket. She's up in a rocket. And so this, again, was years ago. So little did she know she was going to be spending as much time up there as she ended up spending.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she knows her way around, and she's explaining to everybody what's going on in there.
Here we are at the throne. This is awesome.
The throne.
She calls it the throne.
The throne. So this is the toilet.
I gotta be honest, I kinda like that.
The throne?
I bet it got old for Butch up there.
Game of Thrones.
She's like, hey, I'm gonna go hit the throne again. He's like, gross.
I've heard this.
Yeah, seriously.
I've heard this.
Disgusting. You disgust
we are
me.
At the throne. This is awesome. You might see the little you might have noticed the little moon on the outside. This is our orbital outhouse right here. And of course, it serves for two functions.
Explain the functions in detail.
Oh, I think she's going to let's hear it. I
want to hear everything about these functions.
Yeah.
Number two, right here.
Uh-huh.
I'll show you.
She's going to show us? You can't do that. I mean, what channel was this on?
You basically, this is on YouTube.
YouTube.
This is on the internet.
This is an age-gated video.
Dude, even YouTube has rules.
Yeah.
Even YouTube has
rules.
That's
a good point. It's probably flagged.
But you see, it's pretty small, so you have to have pretty good aim, and you'll be ready to make sure things get let go the right direction.
I've never really measured my aim for number two.
I never considered it. I think we all have the same accuracy, or so I thought. Apparently not.
Look, my number one aim, not the greatest.
No, that's,
if we're being honest, I could do better.
You're like early Josh Allen. You're like rookie year Josh Allen.
I guess I've never really compared and contrasted. I think my number two aim is pretty spot on, I think. I've never missed.
I agree. Let me think. Yeah, no, I agree. Although, that's not for everybody. You ever been in some of these, like, public restrooms?
Yeah.
People do miss.
I've been there. I feel like the guy taking over it, too. Andy Hart may be on the other side.
Yeah,
based on some of his stories.
We'll catch up with him during the crossover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it smells a little bit, so I'm closing it up. And that's, of course, for number two.
That was Butch.
Yeah, we got it.
That was Butch.
So this is what she sounded like on, like, a good day when she was, like, boots on the ground. Yeah, imagine her up there.
Haggard
days,
up there for 300
loopy.
Days. Circling the earth 4,500 times or whatever it was.
Butch is like, well, this is my only options.
Take your time in there.
I'll be out here.
And this guy right here is for number one.
Right.
So they're sort of two slightly separate functions, but you can do a little, essentially both, by hanging on right here.
Awkward question. What about number three?
So I watched this video. It's like a pee vacuum is what it is.
Is it? Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can, what she's saying is you can sit there.
It looks like an oxygen mask.
And then, you know, the pop the vacuum on there. And
so what I saw is like they.
Well, you have to sit. You can't hover.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Just float around.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like impossible at that point.
Good point. But like, I don't understand how they, and I guess this got explained to us, you know, months ago, is like how they had so much extra, like, food.
Yeah.
Right? But like the ability, so they just like go to the bathroom and then like shoot it out into the galaxy?
Well, they were still making trips up. This is what I never got about this.
Oh, they were sending
stuff. They were
still
making trips with supplies, but they didn't have room to bring these two back.
Terrible.
Maybe they, every time they showed up, they were like, hey guys. When the ISS is a rocking,
so we can take one
here's
back.
Some food, here's some Glade.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah,
don't come and knock him.
Howdy, maybe.
Maybe.
And doing number one and number two. I might add, it's color coded, so you really don't get it mixed up, which
just,
is nice.
Just
this is yellows for number one.
Okay, Sonny, let it go.
She's working blue.
She had a lot of water that day.
She really is.
She's working very blue.
God.
And also, there's a selection of paper. People always ask about toilet paper. What do you do with toilet paper? What kind of toilet paper do you have?
People always ask. That's the number one question I get. I'm an astronaut.
When you went to NASA school,
yeah.
When you went to be a professional
you
astronaut,
you guys do toilet paper up there? What kind of toilet paper did you guys
what
do?
What you pictured
three
was,
shells like Demolition Man.
That's
was
true.
Non-stop questions about how you wipe your ass.
That's it.
That is what everybody wants to know.
That's what they did.
The whole time I watched Apollo 13, I'm like, how are they wiping?
And people think the moon landing was fake? How could you possibly?
We have gloves just because sometimes it does get messy. We have some Russian wipes, which are a little bit coarse if you like the coarse type of toilet paper.
Okay. That was also 10 years ago. We might not have Russian wipes anymore.
That's a good point.
We probably pulled the plug on
those. Those might have been canceled.
I
but
would think. Who likes a coarse wipe?
Not me.
She's like, yeah, here's a Russian wipe if you like a coarse wipe. Who's that?
I'll take a one over two. I'll take a one ply over two ply.
That's not a rough wipe, though. That's like a... I'm worried I might break
so
through.
So you think they have like grade school brown paper, like that kind of bathroom paper?
I see. Somebody wants one of those.
No
yeah.
Good.
You know what I like?
Doesn't
a rough
even
paper.
Do the job.
I like a rough wipe. It
made bloody noses worse.
Yeah, they're okay. Really kind of hurting.
Okay.
We have some nice tissues, which are nice and soft. If you like soft toilet paper,
most people do.
We have Huggies, just for any cleanup. You know, we were all babies once, and this sort of helps.
Not anymore.
Wait, so Huggies like wet wipes?
Or does she mean like, oh, okay, wet ones?
Yeah, like a wipe.
Can't flush those. Don't flush them. It says it everywhere. Do not flush these.
Yeah,
they do not need to be flushed.
I don't know if that applies.
Yeah.
Intergalactically, I'm not sure.
I guess you just flush everything up there.
You've dealt with a jammed toilet in space.
That'd be bad. Yeah, toilet's out. Oh, we only have like 300 more days up here.
I'm just going to open this door. I'm out of here.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, if it's...
Put your space suit on.
It's yellow, be mellow. Yeah. Sunny.
And then if things get really out of control, we have... disinfectant wipes just to make sure we clean up here. Because, you know, just like the water I showed you, the number one stuff can sort of go all over the place if you don't aim correctly. And did I mention both of these have a little bit of suction, so they should keep things going in the right direction.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, you got to know what's up and what's down.
Which way we're facing. Just for farts.
But, like I said, sometimes things get a little out of control if you are out of control yourself flying around. So
what?
We have lots of protective stuff. And, of course, you do have your privacy. Here's a little door.
Yeah, that little door got...
Sounded squeaky.
I'm going to bet...
Yeah, it's a WD-40 on that.
I'm going to bet Butch spent a good 23 hours of the day in there.
He's like... I'm busy. I'm in here.
I'm shutting this. Just leave me alone in here.
Oh, my God. All right. Here comes again.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't kill each other is a pretty...
Well,
amazing step.
Based on that, how mundane it is up there, and you're stuck there for 280-something days,
and she's like real a little too into the tour of the International Space Station toilet there. Toilet paper, you go one and two.
They're already geniuses, so it's not like they can look things up on Google just to kill time.
Nope.
Yep, I know that.
They already know everything.
I know that.
They know everything.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know how fast we circle around the sun? He's like, yep.
Yep, yes, I do.
Yeah. I do.
This conversation again.
Yeah, that in NASA school.
How fast is the speed of light again? Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, right.
They're so smart, they're bored. There's nothing for them.
You saw when they splashed down, the dolphins came over to him. You see that yesterday?
Yeah, dolphins are smart. Put a dolphin in space.
Dog of the sea.
The dog of the sea, that's true.
They're actually even smarter than dogs. I know. I'm a big dog fan.
I was going to say.
Dolphins, I think, are like the smartest thing.
You downgraded 4th of July just based on your dog yesterday.
Dolphins are smarter than most people.
What do dolphins think of the 4th of July?
Probably don't like it.
A lot of fireworks.
A lot of that stuff ends up in the water. Not good.
That's a good point.
Not good.
They're breathing through a plastic straw.
Yeah.
I hadn't considered that. But congratulations. Sonny and Butch back on Earth.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, finally.
I mean,
there's
a chance Sonny's, she's a local. There's a chance she's popping on WEEI right now. Listening in.
Great chance.
Very, very possible.
So glad to have you back, these two. Yeah, there's a lot going on, I would imagine, up there. A lot of unspoken stuff when they get back. How was your trip? It was good. Anything else? No, it was good.
No, it was a good time.
It's good. I liked that.
Was Butch? He was fine.
Radio, yeah, Butch, good guy. What the hell happened to the previous version of this? This isn't my 10 to 2 show.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
That's a good point.
Been a long time. A long time since they've been up
confused
there.
Confused on a variety of things. That's true.
But happy to have him back.
She goes back to the ISS a year from now. Uh-huh. Could be something different. You don't even know. There you go. That's an update on, outer space. And Keith, you make an interesting observation. Pretty strange we couldn't bring two astronauts back from a place, you know,
we could feed them
halfway
nonstop
to where we flew them to 50 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting.
Something's up.
They really
that
just came down with like 4 parachutes. They couldn't do that earlier.
Yeah, I'm still very perplexed about how that whole thing went down.
The whole thing's
which
very
makes
strange
me think maybe they wanted to stay there. Anyway, that's Sonny and Butch. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your Red Sox phone calls coming up, and Garrett Crochet, an update on his contract negotiations next.